Sorry about that.
That's okay. Okay, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody else that's watching, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Real quickly, we haven't been meeting for a while, so if there's any glitches or little things like that, be very patient with us. And it's good to see everybody here and in the Ethernet. So I'd like to call this online planning work session to order for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. My name is Carl Johnson, and of course, I'm the chair of the Clark County Planning Commission. Due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, regular meetings and public hearings of the Clark County Planning Commission will be held in a virtual setting, in a virtual meeting room. This will allow the safe participation by commission members, staff, and as appropriate, the public. Members of the public, applicants, and the Planning Commission members have joined as an attendee, which means you can see and you can hear the event if you join via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event if you join by phone. Other event participants cannot see you on the video and cannot hear you unless your audio is acknowledged by the commission chair or staff and is unmuted. There will not be any public comment during the work session, but members of the public can watch and listen. So this evening's agenda is as follows. Of course, we'll call the order and we'll go through the 2022 school CFP updates, comments, any miscellaneous comments from the Planning Commission, and then adjournment. I probably see it should be a relatively short meeting. During the Q&A discussion for each topic, you can request a roll call and give PC members, that's to me, but we're not taking any roll, are we, today? Are we taking roll? No, we don't. With that said, I would like to move on to Jenna. Kay, are you out there, Jenna? And let's attack the first one that's up, CFP updates.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Larissa, could you pull up the slides? Wonderful. So good evening, Planning Commission. My name is Jenna Kay with Community Planning, and I'm joined this evening. Oliver Orgiaco is also in the room with the Community Planning Director, and we will be briefing you on the hearings that will take place at your August 18th meeting that relate to school district capital facility plan and impact fee updates. Next slide. So there are 6 docket items that are listed on this slide, and they all relate to school district capital facility plans and their associated impact fee updates. Each district's proposal is considered a separate docket item. And at your August 18th meeting, I will be presenting these to you one at a time for separate deliberation and voting. Tonight, however, I'm providing background information that's applicable to all of them and all of these proposals. So I do not plan on discussing them individually, but we'll be doing it in aggregate. Next slide. So why does the county look at school district capital facility plans and impact fee updates? Well, Chapter 36.70A of the Revised Code of Washington enables school districts to develop capital facility plans and impact fee programs for new residential developments in order to offset the impacts of growth on school facilities. It further requires that these plans and programs be reviewed and approved as part of the county and city comprehensive plans in which the school district is located. So that's why the county reviews these types of requests for all school districts within Clark County. The minimum requirements of a school district's capital facilities plan are defined in RCW 36.70A.0703 and in Clark County Code 40.620.030A. A school district requesting impact fees has to submit to the county and update at least every 4 years a capital facilities plan adopted by its school board that consists of the following elements. 1, a standards of service description. So this includes things like the number of students per classroom for different age groups, for instance. 2, it needs to include an inventory of existing facilities. 3, it needs to include a forecast of future needs. It needs to include the proposed locations and capacities of expanded or new facilities. It needs to include a 6-year financing plan. And then it also needs to include the application of the impact fee formula, which is set out in Clark County Code 40.620.040. So school district capital facility plans typically include multiple funding sources. Depending on district eligibility, districts pay for a portion of the costs of capital facilities with funds that are provided by the state of Washington through the Common School Construction Fund. The remaining capital expenses have to be raised locally, and that happens through the passage of bond levies, which, if voters approve them, raises the property taxes of all residential property owners within that school district, and or there are impact fees, which only apply to new residential construction within the district. Clark County Code 40.620.040 includes a calculation that's used for determining the maximum impact fee a school district can request. If any of you want to dig into the details of that calculation, you're welcome to contact me before the hearing, and I'm glad to walk through each component of it. Next slide. But for tonight, at a higher level, basically what the impact fee calculation does is it starts with the cost of the needed public facilities that are related to growth over the next 6 years. And you take that number and you determine what that amount is per household. So this initial part of the calculation considers the number of children per household in the district, and it also separates out the calculations for single family and multifamily housing types. So from this initial cost per household number, you then subtract any state match funds that the district expects to receive that can go towards school construction costs. Then you can subtract a tax credit, which is related to existing school district capital property tax levies. And then the formula has you subtract an additional 15%. And then if you follow that formula, the end result is the maximum impact fee amount a school district can request. So as you review your hearing materials, accompanying each staff report there are a few exhibits, but I want to highlight Exhibit B. And Exhibit B is a copy of the school district's capital facility plan. And in that, usually towards the very end of it, the school districts, they've shown their math. So they show their work for applying the county's, the impact fee calculation. And some of the districts you'll see may request the maximum impact fee amount that's allowed under county code, and others may request a lower amount. So there will be representatives for each district at the hearing, and they'll be able to answer any questions you have if you want to know why a certain, you know, school district made a certain decision. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So this table summarizes the impact fee amounts for each of the school districts. So for each district, you can see the existing fee and the proposed fee for single family and multifamily dwellings. And then on the right-hand side of the table, you can see the calculated difference and percent change between the current fee and proposed fee amounts. So looking at this, you may notice a wide range in the proposed fee amounts if you look across the districts. You know, and each school district is really different. There are some really large districts on this list. There's some really small districts. You know, some of these are really rural, some are urban, some are a mix. And the main point is that, you know, each district has different facility needs right now. And their capital facility plan provides that background information and context behind these numbers. So I'll just provide a few examples on sort of some of the differences we're seeing between districts. So there are two school districts, Green Mountain and Washougal, that are requesting an impact fee amount of zero. And this is because they are either expecting a decline in student population growth or just very minimal growth. And they don't really have much in terms of, you know, facility needs. And so they don't have a need for impact fees to cover those facility needs. And then you have school districts on the higher end of the spectrum. So for single family homes, the highest impact fee amount is coming from Ridgefield School District, followed by Battleground. And if you look at those districts' capital facility plans, you can get a sense of the student population growth those districts are experiencing and the facility needs that they have. And in their plans, if you look at the portion that shows their whole financing plan, you know, it includes how much these impact fees are expected to contribute, but it also outlines the other funding sources they're relying on, such as bonds and funds from the state, that paints the whole picture of their financing plan for all of their facility needs. And then similarly, if you look at the highest impact fee amounts for multifamily, which are coming out of the Ridgefield School District and Camas, again, you'll get that background information that provides a lot more context to these numbers if you look at the plans themselves. So that is, again, that's Exhibit B that's associated with each of the hearing materials for each of these items. Let's see. So staff reviews each school district's capital facilities plan and the associated impact fees for consistency with applicable Growth Management Act, Clark County Comprehensive Plan, and Clark County Code sections. And so the staff report for each district walks through those applicable criteria, evaluation, and findings. In staff's review, we found that all six of the proposed capital facility plan updates and impact fee requests are consistent with the criteria that we have to evaluate them against. Next slide. So I'm going to wrap up there. Oliver and I are available to answer questions. And Larissa, maybe if you go back one slide, I think that would be a good one to just keep up. Okay, thank you.
Questions?
I have one.
Go ahead. So can you guys turn your name tags around just so I can make sure your name tag? There. Elder, sorry.
All right. So can you briefly go over the criteria that the staff used to evaluate?
Yeah. And I'm just going to ask if you're in the room, if you can remute once you ask your question. Thank you. It's pretty long, as you'll see in some of the staff reports. But at a really high level, we need to make sure the capital facility plans, they have all the required components that are listed in the state statutes. So that, you know, like they have to show, you know, an inventory of what they have, they have to show a forecast of what they need, and then a plan, including the financing on how they're going to meet that need. So part of it is just making sure, you know, we just check that it has all the required elements. There's also criteria on how the sort of related to the impact fees themselves. So for instance, we need to make sure the impact fees are only going towards facilities that are related to growth. So impact fees can't be used for other school needs, capital facility needs, if they aren't related to growth. So they have to relate to growth. And they also, impact fees aren't allowed to pay for all of that. They can only be one funding source to help pay for facility needs related to growth. I think at a high level, those are the key points. We have some additional criteria in our county code that for each of those elements, we need to make sure that what the school districts are including in their plan is essentially realistic. You know, is it similar to what other school districts are requesting? So we check for things like that, you know, but we're not really weighing in on whether their decisions are good or bad in any way, right? It's really, are you being consistent with state law and these county code criteria?
Do you have a question, Brian?
Hey, Jenna. Of the school districts in Clark County, it seems like Hawkinson and La Center aren't on there. How come they don't have plans?
Yeah, so all the districts do have plans, but they're not quite all on the same schedule. So, for instance, Hawkinson and La Center updated their plans, I want to say maybe 2019. I know I brought them forward. I can't remember exactly when. But So the districts, they have to update them every 4 years. There has been a bit of delay with this batch because of COVID. The districts did approach council and they got an extension twice. So these were actually due 2 years ago originally. So there has been a little bit of a delay. But so the other districts do have them. They're just on a different, their 4 years are hitting at different times. And I will also add that school districts can come back more frequently. So if they wanted to update, you know, before 4 years, they're allowed to do that. That is totally up to them.
Jenna Carl Johnson, tagging on to that question, is there any way that I would just say, I remember the other two coming through, but it would be nice to have them all together, just so we're looking at everything and we're comparing everything. So I don't know if we have any ability or staff has any ability to, in the future, to say, okay, let's try to get all of our county schools together. And it's nice to just go, okay, I like looking at comparisons, and I understand there's a lot of things in the weeds here, but I don't know if that's possible. The other question I had was, are you able to get us a really simple synthesized, population? I understand that I don't want to go too far because I know the formula is, we tried to go through that before and it was dense. I'm interested in looking at like population growth, because really, especially with the fairground exit and that whole removal of that overlay, I think that plays into this decision-making process. I know I just still don't understand the discrepancies, because I know that Washougal's small. I get it that Green Mountain obviously is probably an anomaly, but it's because they're one school deal, but a K-8. But what I'm really looking at is that we see this all the time, and we went through this with Richfield. I think last time there was a huge number, and I don't know what happened. We came back, I can't recall, but when we're looking at 68% and 67%, and then we won't use, but anyways, like Vancouver is -3. So I'm like, wow, I'd like to see, or at least wrap my brain around how some of these schools are getting there. Because I know we're growing.
Yeah. I think I can talk with Oliver and Jack, and we can try to do some sort of summary for the side at the hearing, some sort of high level, pulling out some of the key points from the CFPs. I also think, so the school districts, they will be at the hearing. They're going to be really good at explaining what is going on in their district, right? So I can look at the plan and I can see, Ridgefield is expecting this much growth and they need this many new schools, right? So I can share that, but I think they're really going to have that much deeper background to, they're going to be better at explaining some of that if you need more context. So they will hear your questions. If they're not on now, they will listen to this before the hearing. So they'll know, be prepared to speak to that. But I will, for the hearing, the slides I present, I will try to do sort of a high level synthesis. And similarly, we can pull in the information from the other districts too, if that's helpful.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't want to bury you in anything dense. I would love a piece of paper to go, okay, here's kind of what we're, okay, that makes somewhat sense. I always get to this thing every time, and I'm like, well, where are you coming up? I mean, there is an element of, I don't have to understand every bit of the numbers, but I always wonder, like, wow, everybody's growing. And I have no problem with, rationalization of that, but I just see a huge discrepancy between districts, and I'm always wondering why. And I'm not pointing at any district, but and again, don't kill yourself on that. I just was like, if you give me a piece of paper.
Yeah, if I may, Commissioner Johnson, we can ask the school district during the next plan update to submit, and that is due in June of 2025. It's likely that you will see all of them, all the school districts, during the next plan update. We ask them to do so. So there is going to be a new schedule for them if they all submit during the next plan update. So you will see that typically that's what we do. But coming to your other question, each of the school district needs are different. And I say that because if you take Vancouver, that is predominantly urban, their growth, you know, comes from the people that are moving in at natural birth and before those kids reach school age. And they are remodeling most of their facilities on site, so their need is a little bit different. You look at Richfield that is growing, their need is in terms of the space that they need and how much support, financial support they're getting from state, as well as the ability to pass bond or levies. So as Jenna was explaining, the impact fee is just a very small portion, proportionately looking at things. So, and also because of that growth that is occurring, it's not occurring, even though when you say Clark County is experiencing a huge population growth, but it's not evenly distributed. So you see in the last 5 years, it's not new. Richfield is one of the fastest growing cities in the entire state. And that comes with the need for facilities to accommodate that. So relatively speaking, that's really what you're seeing in terms of the differences. And the school board also plays a role in the fee that they're assessing. It's only recently that some of the school districts have gone to assessing the maximum that the formula allows for. And that was as a result of pressure from outsiders to say, you have to assess the maximum. Why are you not doing so? Yeah. But that's a decision of the school board to say, you know, we know that we can go to the state and ask for some funding. We know that our citizens can also pass levies and bonds. But there are some school districts that will say, no, unless you accept the maximum, we're not going to pass our bond. So there's a couple of things working in there. You mentioned Green Mountain and Washougal. Green Mountain, I think maybe they sent some of their kids to La Center High School. Yeah, both barrels. So their need is very small. So they could, and there is no multi family in Green Mountain, is all single family, and then you get very little in terms of what is occurring out there. So every district is different, but I'm sure there will be someone here on the 18th to go in depth about this. As Jenna indicated, we have looked at this, the amount adds up, the rationale adds up. What I was even expecting was that there's going to be, in some cases, a reduction because of the pandemic, you know? And because of the pandemic, there were some school districts that experienced significant decline. Some of that decline, we don't know whether some of the kids went to private schools or are in school at home. So if there is no need for that growth, like in the case of Washougal, you see them asking for zero. You know, so they may be able to explain to you why they're asking for zero school impact fee as an example. I could understand Green Mountain. There are some of them that, some of the school district that they are, I would say maybe Vancouver, their multi-family went from 10,000 to 8,000, okay? And their single family reduced by $94. You know, you could say, well, why is that the case? It could potentially be that they're seeing, even though if you look at Vancouver per se, Vancouver urban growth boundary has one, two, or three school districts. Commerce, some portion of Commerce School District is in Vancouver, some portion of Battleground is in Vancouver. So when you look at Vancouver School District, they have to look at within their own boundary. and make adjustment, even though a lot of multifamily have been built in Vancouver. It wasn't, some of that could have gone to Evergreen. I forgot Evergreen, that is in also in, yeah, so Evergreen School District, they're not here, but there, the school in Vancouver, when you look at Vancouver UGA, you have Evergreen, you have Barrow Ground, and you also have, even in the 179 area, you got Richfield. So you got three school districts, so they have to adjust for that as well. All that growth in the 179 isn't going to go to Barrow Ground alone. Some will go to Richfield, some will go to Vancouver, and some will go to Barrow Ground.
Actually, I think I looked at that. It was 2/3 Richfield, roughly 1/3 Barrow Ground. But, and again, no, I get it. I just, clarity is, we see this a lot, and we kind of gloss through them, and I'm sure the need is there. But I always wonder why one is, and the other one is, it's like, well, and you're right, Green Mountain, I get. But a lot of them also, Vancouver, you know, they just had a big build, big bond, almost a, I think that was a half, was it a half a billion, or that was a lot of money. And so they have a lot of schools that are almost built out, yeah. Mountain View, and so I kind of get that. But and again, it's nice to have them all together. And I know you can't, but I'm just like, oh, I'd love to see all those schools. So anyways, thank you. That was a great answer.
So Jenna or Oliver, did the county do any evaluation of these proposals from the school districts as it relates to how it supports or doesn't support other county initiatives going on? Specifically, we were just here a few months ago talking about housing affordability, yet these impact fees go against that. So how... Yeah.
Thank you for the question. So we, none of the criteria that we are evaluating relates to affordability. So that isn't any of the criteria that's considered in our evaluation of this. And as staff, we can't change the criteria because we're following what's in statute and county code. So that is not something that's considered here. I will remind you that, you know, so as I explained, you know, the impact fees apply to new residential construction, and it is, as you're alluding to, right, it typically gets passed along to the person purchasing the home. But the bonds, which typically make up a much larger portion of what's funding the school facilities, are raising taxes on everybody in the district. So I'm not sure, you know, there's not necessarily a great solution, but someone has to pay for the needs. So, but anyway, our criteria doesn't include an affordability component.
Jenna answered that very well. I have nothing more to answer, sir.
I was just going to make a statement in regards to the fees. I believe most of the jurisdictions have something in their codes that say, okay, this new impact fee is on all new development that it's not in, that's not already short platted. So when a developer goes out and starts negotiating his price on his land, he knows what his impact fees are. I believe that's kind of where a lot of them do it. Some of them might not, but I believe Ridgefield does, and then that gives the builder the certainty of what they know what their fees are, so they can negotiate the land, so they know what they can pay for the land before they build the home. So it doesn't always equate dollar for dollar into the sale price of a home in that case. But I would also say, as someone who lives in Ridgefield, one of the fastest growing cities in the state, that impact is really about $160,000 a home as a taxpayer who lived there when my taxes were a fraction of what it is now. And because of everybody moving to Ridgefield, mine and everybody else's taxes have gone through the roof. So it is what it is, and the impact on the community is greater than that number. In fact, that's the name of the scratch. I mean, they won't even pay for portables hardly to get them through until they can pass a bond. So it really is, it's all calculated in there.
So this is, although I wanted to make a couple of comments as I'm looking at this, the first thing is I actually agree with Carl. I would like to see the missing school districts in as a comp. This is very important, all right, so that we could see holistically what the impact is of this proposal. Even though the planning cycle may be different than what the districts are that are on the table right now, somebody is bound to come in from a district not listed and ask, why is my district not up there? And I am in La Center, and I've got a brand new school that's being proposed, probably 10,000 feet from my house, and I am just wanting to know what's happening. So it's just important to really show the whole picture. The other comment I want to make is really around that portion of the impact fee is only a portion of all of the things that are impacting everybody. I'm just getting my own property tax bill right now, and I'm looking at what's going on, what we're just voting on this week, and the optics of the request for additional funds from all these various areas reaching into not necessarily the new development, as I'm sure that they, you know, bake that impact fee into new development, but those of us who lived in this county for so many years, like you commented, Matt, our taxes are going up and up and up, and it is becoming a very place to live without considering the aspect of affordable housing. So it seems like these are tension points, and should they even be considered in terms of the pull on one counteracts the good that we're trying to do with the other. So I'm just raising that as a point. Okay, thank you.
So again, I want to make sure that with the clarity here is that we're looking at new, new fees. And I can give you just a quick thing. Battleground School District is above COVID numbers. Our numbers, everything's coming back. And the numbers are officially from last year, the amount of enrollment is higher than pre-COVID. The other thing, and some of these schools, and I know our district's a bit of an anomaly too, but, you know, we have 725 kids in a middle school meant for 400. That's Lauren Middle School. On that campus alone, there's close to 1,300 elementary K-4 and then up. The pressure is also that. You have Urban Hull taken off of 179th, which is one-third battleground. Pleasant Valley and Lauren were built in 1970. Some of your grandparents probably went there. And I only say this because I get what you're saying, but at the same time, this impact fee has a controlling effect on that. If you want to come here and you want to build a new house, that's what it's going to take. Not to mention, I heard a stat that Prairie High School will be as big or bigger than Battleground High School. We have two high schools in Battleground. Battleground has 2,000 students. So you're looking at some numbers that, and I'm not even touching that thing called Richfield, because they're the sixth largest. La Center is the 10th largest, and not to mention the pressure to out in the region, you know, the rural lands. So I'm not when I ask these questions, I like seeing them just because I'm trying to go, well, and I get what you're saying. There's different areas, different things, but I don't like, it's probably a harsh way to say it, but I get frustrated when I go, well, okay, we got this, we got this figured out. We see these steps, and all of a sudden, we saw the center. We've already done that. We saw, I can't remember the other one. We saw part, because Woodland has got a little carve out. So, yeah, so we have seen them. But I don't mean it in it would be nice to see them. My whole thing is we are at and I'll try to get off my soapbox, but we're at an area now in our county where we are these competing pressure assessments, all these things, and you have to say, okay, where's value? What are we trying to do? And I'm not diminishing schools, or I'm obviously a public school teacher, but I really look at it like we haven't really looked at these like, okay, let's use these to, I'm going to put quotes around this, control growth, to, if that's what it does, then that's what it does. A new house, it's a nice place to live out there, you know.
even though you live out there, Matt, but it's a nice place to live. But no, but and so, you know, you got to pay your way. So I'll get off that. I just want you to know, I think what you're saying is valid, so valid. You know, I'm like looking at this, and I too am from right by where you live, but I'm like, these pressures have to be dealt with, and somehow we're going to have to come to this. I don't see anything that's too unreasonable. The percentages are, I think, battlegrounds of, like, I would love to see what the last one was. You know, the last one, like the percentage is like, I know Richfield's was really high before. I just recall.
Went to 10? Because I remember when it went to 10.
Yeah, I remember that. We were looking at a huge percentage and we go, okay, we'll do this. Or they came back, I think, and said, you know, we'll narrow it, or something happened there, if I recall. Yeah, so then I'm like going, well, some of these before didn't grow hardly at all. So that's a nice comparison to go, oh, okay, they were like, let's just use Washougal. Let's say next time Washougal comes back and it's a large percentage, then you would go, oh, that kind of makes sense. So something to think about and chew on. I don't have an answer for it other than the schools are booked up, man. They are full and they are crammed full. So any other questions or comments?
I just have a comment. It just seems like the counties, we're sending mixed signals. I mean, we put all this work in that housing affordability, and county did a great job listing all the things that could impact that, whether short-term, medium-term, long-term. And then 3 months later, we say, oh, well, now we're doing a 68% increase in Ridgefield and Battleground. Just doesn't strike me very well.
What's interesting that I would like to add is that how much of the increase is related to the cost of inflation, just the cost of materials going up. So when they did an estimate in terms of new facilities, how much of that new increase is related to the cost itself between the existing fee and the new fee? But I would think that there is a substantial cost or increase associated with building something 3 or 4 years ago and now building a new facility in the next 2 years.
Yes, Brian, I think you're raising a very good point. We, even at the county here on road project, are experiencing significant increase in costs. I will not be surprised that some of these numbers relate to an increase in costs associated with building some of these facilities. And you also, Eldon, raised a good point in terms of the dichotomy about talking about affordable housing and the impact on this type of increases may have on affordability. It's well noted, but as you know, even if you were to reduce the impact fees, there are three impact fees that we assess: traffic impact fees, park impact fees, and then school impact fees. These are all attributed to growth, nothing more. We cannot use impact fees to fix existing deficiency. So what do we do going forward? I think it's a conversation. It's not, even if you look at going through the building permit, you may say that the cost there is also very expensive, but if you look at the cost of building materials alone, you look at the cost of land alone, some will tell you that the impact fees are relatively very small compared to the cost of land, compared to the cost of labor and materials and so forth. Affordability is one issue that we have to focus on in terms, if you ask some folks, they say, oh yeah, just it's supply and demand. True, but if there are no incentives and other techniques to address affordability, I don't think we are going to make a headway. Similarly, if we don't change, and this is my own opinion, if we don't change the regulatory aspect of what we allow in single family and all of that, we are going to continue seeing what we have been experiencing in the past. It's only recently that we now allow accessory dwelling units in our single family zone. It's only recently that we're allowing triplex duplexes in our single family zones. So they have to be both regulatory, both other type of incentives to make a dent in affordability issues. So I know that my staff is here, they're listening, and myself, when we begin that implementation, some of those changes are going to come before you so that you weigh that. What are the, is it going to make any impact? I don't know yet, but I think Brian raised a very good point in terms of the cost to build these facilities. That is also contributing to what we are seeing. And I will also say that the state funding is also another key, because if you're going to be receiving less funding from school and the state legislature is not funding school appropriately, all that will play a role in what a particular school district can be able to afford, and they may continue to go to their citizenry to ask for passage of bonds and levies. It's a tax, there's no doubt about it, but when you get your tax statement, take a hard look at it. Some of them are not only schools, but I would say majority of the cost to your tax goes to school, fire district, and all the levies that have been passed, whether it's fire, whether it's other levies that have been passed. We recently just, I think, if I may say, we are seeing the sales tax increase to fund public facilities or body cam passing. You got to get that when you go buy stuff, you got to pay for it. Yeah, so I'm not making an excuse for housing affordability issues. I'm just saying that there is so much issues we have to address when it comes to affordability. Thank you, Brian.
Just one other question. Did you say where some of the school districts going to be here in 2 weeks?
The representative is going to be here at your August 18 hearing.
Battleground and Ridgefield?
Currently, yeah. We have, if I may, we have one land use attorney representing all the school district, and in the past, you also had an attorney representing the school district. But if you want the superintendents to come, we have what we call a school advisory. School advisory committee representing of all the superintendents in Clark County that we meet sometimes twice a year, and we have this conversation, you know, through that group. And Jenna, who is the staff on this, also served on she's the staff for the school advisory committee. So these issues are being addressed head on, and the superintendent will tell you more than I can on what they're seeing on a daily basis. And as you know, they're supposed to educate any kid that shows up. And we are also required to work with the school district to approve portables as quickly as we can. And we put that on a fast track because, as you know, even state funding, if you're not really running out of space, it's hard for them to fund you. Brick and mortar doesn't come very fast enough.
Any more questions? Okay, with that said.
Hey, Carl. Brian here. Hey, and this is kind of maybe going back to what I should have asked at the very beginning. What is our role in reviewing this? And, you know, why is this even at the Planning Commission role or on our agenda? I understand that we're going to do a review and say we approve it, but why is it here?
If I may quick, I think the questions even right now that are being asked go down, I think they're critical. I think that's, look, we're an advisory committee. We know that. Okay. But I think if our counselors listen to what we say, not so much in our pre-meeting here, but in our hearing, and that we have this discussion to go, well, wait a minute, or wait, we're talking about two different things, the pressures. If you are doing due diligence as a counselor, you are going over what we said, because it brings up things that they can talk about and ultimately make the decision. And if I may, some of my frustrations are, I think we work very, very hard to talk about it and go, I wonder, and what can we do? And sometimes it feels like, well, what impact? But a good counselor looks at their planning commission. They can vote against this. That's fine. But there's so many times where something comes up. I Elda just brought that up. I'm like, yeah, we were just talking about that, you know, and how does that reconcile? Well, frankly, it doesn't, but we have to make these decisions. And it's not that no one supports schools or people support schools. It's that I think we have to dig down a little bit. So that's my planning commission guy that's been here for probably way too long, but I remember going to the same thing. Well, what is this? It's just a rubber stamp. And what am I doing? This is a school district. But I think this discussion is powerful. I think noticing growth where it's at, and I think it's give us these numbers so we see them, and then hopefully our counselors. I'll let Oliver add the official part, but I appreciate everything that was said as a school teacher and a chairman of the planning commission.
Yeah, Carl, I like that, and thanks for the clarification on that. And I know this does have a lot to do with land use, because these decisions will impact, like Matt was talking about, the price of the land when and the growth and how the growth in Clark County will be.
And ultimately, the price of the house.
Yeah, right.
Okay, say something?
Sure.
And can somebody please mute?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Chris,
oh, Chris
Cook.
Okay, Chris.
I was
going to see you. Okay,
but go ahead.
Okay. That sounds better. In addition, the school capital facility plans are capital facility plans. So the capital facility plan must be consistent with the county's comprehensive planning. That's why it's a GMA issue that is before the planning commission, and then we'll go to the county council for approval of the that and agreement that in fact there is consistency between those capital facility plans for the county district and the county's comprehensive plan. So that's the technical legal reason for it.
Thanks, Christine. Brian here. And now I recall reading the staff reports that that was definitely a portion, right, of the staff review and recommendation for approval.
Right. It's right. Like when Clark Regional or Discovery Wastewater District, whoever they are these days, provides a comprehensive plan or a capital facilities plan to the county and other special districts. So that's what it's about.
Chris answered that very well.
So these will be broken up. Just for these, each one, each school, I can't remember. Each school will go through each school when they get here and then take testimony if necessary. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Am I seeing any? I don't see any. All right. With that said, are there any comments from the Planning Commission? I will add, it's good to be back. I hope to see everybody here. Not that I understand everybody has their reasonings and rationale, and I know that we're hybrid, but it is very nice to see everybody sitting here doing our thing again. And thank you for the meal. That was really cool. That's kind of like, that's the only reason I'm a planning commissioner. No, I'm kidding. That came out over wrong. That slipped out. No, but I always like this time because it's kind of a, you know, we can come together and we're a little bit less formal. So with that said, good to see you guys and gals, and we'll adjourn.